So anyway, if things have felt a little slower lately, or a little quieter, a little uncertain, I hope this episode helps you see that maybe you're not falling behind. Maybe you're just resetting. And resets don't always look like breakthroughs. Sometimes they look like pauses, or like questioning, or like gently letting go. But those are the moments that create real change, real, real change. So you don't have to rush the season, and you don't have to force clarity or try to become a new version of yourself overnight. You can trust that something is shifting, even if it's subtle or even if it's quiet. And if you let it, this could be the foundation for a version of your life that actually feels like you. Hello, hello, magical friends, yomis. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. So I'm recording this right now back home in Park City after a lot of travel. I am bummed to see that there's an unexpected snowfall towards the end of April after we've had such a sunny winter when it was supposed to be ski season. But of course, some days are just full on winter energy. Even though it's technically spring, right? There's something about that just feels aligned with what I have been talking a lot about lately. Because it's like, are we in winter or are we in spring? What season is it exactly? I feel like life just can feel like that too, obviously, especially when you're in between seasons, which we've, again, talked a bit about, especially on the Magic Mondays. And it's not always obvious which one that you're stepping back into next. Also, disclaimer, I'm recording this intro very slowly so my voice can gather because it fails quickly right now. I just got back from 2 back-to-back trips to Philadelphia. Awesome city, very lively. So was I, so was my voice. Where I lost it. I lost my voice somewhere in Philly. So bear with me if I sound a little bit softer or raspier. I'm gonna do what I can to make it sound better. I definitely have my lemon, honey, ginger tea right next to me to help me out. Philly, though, honestly, so fun, really special to me. There's something about being surrounded by that much history, like walking around knowing how much has happened in one place, seeing the Liberty Bell in person, visiting the Betsy Ross house. It just makes you pause for a second and kind of zoom out. And while I was there, I ended up going down a bit of a rabbit hole with my ancestry. And if you listen to this podcast for a while, you know that I love exploring things just out of curiosity, especially when it relates to ourselves and our history, our family. Most of my family is LDS, so they use this tool called FamilySearch.org, which is run by the LDS Church, aka Latter-day Saint Church, aka Mormon. And I like to use some of their tools, even if I'm the one person in the family, not LDS, doesn't mean I don't sometimes use their tools. And I actually highly recommend it. This is also not sponsored at all. I just genuinely find it so fascinating. Obviously, why would the LDS sponsor this podcast? But anyway, you don't have to be LDS, obviously, or have any kind of membership to use it. But I highly recommend it to trace your lineage way back really, really far. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of years. I was able to trace mine back to 100 AC, and while I was looking through it, I found out something kind of wild. Betsy Ross. I mean, we share a last name, her real name, birth name, Elizabeth Griscom, before she got married to a Ross, and she's actually related to my mom's side by blood, and so there's a great likelihood that their lineage of who the guy she married was part of the Ross clan in Scotland, where they had different last names, and then to be part of the Ross clan, they changed the last name. That's my history. It's very interesting. So, kind of surreal to learn while standing there in that city. And it also opened up this whole curiosity for me again, which, by the way, you type in someone's name who has passed away, and you can see if there's any relation at all on this site. It's really cool. Or maybe they are 10 generations, 7 removed from you in some way, shape, or form. But it's just cool to see if there's any sort of relation or link. Anyway, on my dad's side, I always thought I was mostly Scottish because of my last name, which I am. I mean, there's just been a direct link from that Ross, the Ross clan. But I had no idea through this site how strongly Scandinavian I was, especially Swedish on my dad's side, my mom's lineage, my mom's side, is actually mostly Scottish. Their relatives came directly from Scotland through being inspired by early LDS missionary paths. That's how we got here. But it just made me think about my visit to Scotland. That, I mean, I felt deeply connected to that land on a soul level, on an ancestral level, in a way that I honestly could not fully explain at this time. And now I'm like, okay, this kind of makes sense, because maybe it's ancestral, maybe it's energetic, maybe it's a little bit of both. And honestly, part of me is like, it would be so fun to have another past life or ancestry expert on the show again at some point. I highly recommend listening to the past life episode with Ainsley MacLeod. I can link in the show notes on Old Souls. So fun. And he's also a Scotsman. But I genuinely thought that I was in Scotland connecting to that land more so on my dad's side, when really it's on both. It's just so cool to see. But on the flip side, some people do have a hard time finding it. It's rare, but it can happen. For example, Jordan, my boyfriend, it's a little more complex because a lot of his family history is unknown. I mean, all his elders, his parents, everyone have all passed on in his teens and 20s. And so his mom was adopted, and you know, she never met her biological family before she passed, that we know of. And she just knew that she was adopted from Czech. And so there's likely Czech roots there. And his dad also believed he could be Czech, but with his last name being Bird, there's likely an English lineage too. It's been hard to trace, but I'm determined. I'm so determined to find it. I want to figure it out with him, even if it takes a little more digging. There's something really meaningful about understanding where you come from, even if it's not always clear right away. And I think all of this, the travel, the history, the ancestry, the feeling of being between seasons, I've been suddenly reflecting on a lot of it, reflecting something that I've been feeling internally too, like the sense of being in a bit of an in-between, not in a bad way, just a quieter, more reflective space. Even if a lot of the outside world or what I'm doing feels very loud and lively and out there, hence why I lost my voice, internally going through a lot, quietly reflecting on a lot in my life right now. And it just made me think, maybe this isn't a stagnant phase, right? Maybe this is a reset era, just not the kind of reset we've been conditioned to expect. Like, I think a lot of us have this image in our minds of what a reset is supposed to look like. And if we're being honest, it's usually kind of ascetic. It's the version where you wake up one day and suddenly everything clicks. You overhaul your routine. You become incredibly disciplined overnight. You're waking up early, journaling, working out, eating perfectly, feeling aligned, glowing, productive, and your life just looks put together. And I mean, hey, nothing wrong with wanting that, but that version of reset is often more of, I mean, honestly, a performance than a process, or it's part of a process. It's something that looks good from the outside, but real resets, the ones that actually last, that rarely start that way, they don't usually begin with clarity or confidence. Honestly, they usually begin with a subtle feeling that something isn't quite fitting anymore. And it's like you're still living your life, but parts of it start to feel slightly off. Things that used to excite you just don't hit the same. Routines that once felt natural start to feel forced. You might notice yourself pulling back without fully understanding why. And instead of it feeling like a glow up, it can feel more like a quiet unraveling. And that's the part no one really talks about, because it's not as pretty, right? It's not as easy to share. It doesn't come with a clear before and after. But this phase, this subtle discomfort, this questioning, this soft pulling away, this is actually where a real reset begins. And it's less about becoming someone new overnight, right? And more about slowly, honestly noticing what no longer feels aligned and having the courage to not immediately replace it. And to sit in that, the in-between space, for a moment, even when it feels a little uncertain, because that space, that's where the shift starts happening. Not in the big dramatic changes, but in the quiet awareness that something within you is ready to evolve. Friends, I need to tell you something that Jordan and I have been seriously talking about for the summer. We live in Utah, right? And Utah is a great place for outdoorsy people. And so we've been looking at doing an RV trip. You know, we're not planning on buying an RV and changing our entire lifestyle or anything, just renting one for the summer through Outdoorsy. So if you haven't heard of it, Outdoorsy is basically the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the US, which means you can rent an RV or camper without owning one. And what I didn't realize is how easy it actually is. You literally, step one, search for a rig near you, then two, book it with insurance and roadside assistance included, and then three, either drive it yourself, tow it, or have it delivered and fully set up for you. Like, you can just show up and it's ready. And for summer 2026, this is kind of genius. Between the huge international soccer tournament coming to North America, America's 250th anniversary celebrations, and the 100th anniversary of Route 66, hotels are going to be wild. An RV lets you stay close to the action, or honestly, just closer to nature, closer to the river and the trailhead and to the beach, closer to the quiet. As a dog mom, the idea of bringing the boys without worrying about pet fees or weird hotel rules, that sounds great for me. Sounds dreamy. So Outdoorsy has thousands of rigs nationwide, from cute camper vans to full family-sized motorhomes, and they include comprehensive insurance, 24/7 support, and roadside assistance, so it doesn't feel risky. It actually feels freeing. So if you want to turn the drive into the vacation this summer, go check it out and use promo code MAGIC to have all service fees removed from your 2026 booking. That's kind of major. I'll link everything in the show notes so you can explore. Maybe we'll see each other on the road. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Lately, I've been thinking about how much financial stress can quietly affect us, and in ways that we don't always talk about. It's not just about money, it's the mental load that comes with it, the overthinking, the pressure, the way it can impact your sleep and your mood and even your relationships. I know for me, there have been seasons where I've felt overwhelmed, trying to figure everything out, like I needed to have it all together financially in order to feel okay. And that kind of pressure can be really, really heavy to carry on your own. So something that I've learned is that struggling with money doesn't mean you've failed. It just means you're human and navigating life like the rest of us. And that's where therapy can be really supportive. Not for the financial advice, obviously, but for the emotional side of it. Therapy can help you understand your relationship with money and work through stress or shame and build healthier ways to cope so it doesn't feel so consuming. BetterHelp has a network of over 30,000 licensed therapists, and they match you based on your needs through a short questionnaire. And if it's not the right fit, you can switch at any time. When life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/yourownmagic. That's betterhelp.com/yourownmagic. So why does it sometimes feel so weird? Because let's be honest, your brain hates this phase. If you're in the space, it makes sense that it feels a little uncomfortable because this is a phase of reset. And this phase of reset is actually one of the least supported states, neurologically and emotionally. Your brain is wired to seek certainty. It wants patterns and familiarity and things that it can predict. And during a reset, you're kind of stepping out of the unknown and you're loosening your grip on old habits and old identities, old ways of moving through the world. But you haven't fully landed in the new yet. So you're in this middle space where things just feel undefined. And your brain doesn't love that, right? It will try to fill in the gaps with stories like, oh, something's wrong, I'm not doing enough, I should have this figured out by now, because it's trying to pull you back into something familiar, even if that familiar thing wasn't actually aligned for you anymore. And this is where a lot of people accidentally interrupt their own reset. They rush to create clarity. They force decisions. They go back to old patterns just to feel grounded again. But what's actually happening here is something really important. You're creating space, and space can feel incredibly uncomfortable because it doesn't give you immediate feedback. And it doesn't feel productive or impressive. It doesn't feel like progress. But internally, your brain is starting to rewire. You're loosening old neural pathways. You're becoming less reactive to patterns that used to run automatically. And that takes a moment. It's subtle, it's quiet, and it doesn't always feel good while it's happening, but it's a necessary part of real change. So instead of assuming that you're stuck, I want to normalize some of the signs that you might actually be in a reset, because it rarely announces itself in an obvious way. It's usually something you feel before you can fully explain it. You might notice that things that used to excite you don't really land the same anymore, not because anything is wrong, but because you've outgrown them in some quiet way. And you might feel a stronger pull towards simplicity, less stimulation, less noise, less pressure to be everywhere or do everything. You may find yourself becoming more introspective, thinking more, observing more, questioning things that you used to just go along with, then you might be reevaluating what you actually want, not just what you've been doing out of habit or expectation. And sometimes you start to naturally pull back from certain environments, certain dynamics, certain versions of yourself in the subtle, almost instinctive way. And this can feel confusing, right? Because from the outside, it might look like you're doing less, but internally, you're actually becoming more aligned. You're refining, you're getting clearer on what fits and what doesn't. And that kind of clarity doesn't come from forcing answers. It comes from allowing yourself to notice what no longer resonates. This part is probably the most uncomfortable, because during a reset, there's usually some level of release. Things start to fall away. Sometimes it's just this quiet disinterest, a lack of energy towards something that used to feel automatic. And your instinct might be to panic a little, to think, wait, do I need to fix this? Should I be trying harder? Am I losing something important? Then not everything that fades is meant to be held onto. Some things are meant to loosen their grip as you grow. And one of the hardest parts of a reset is allowing that to happen without rushing to replace it, because we're so used to filling space. If something ends, we look for the next thing. If something feels unclear, we try to define it immediately. But there's something really powerful about letting there be a pause, even if it's just for a little while. Letting there be space in your routines, in your identity, in your expectations, because the space is what allows something more aligned to come in. Not something you force, not something you chose out of fear or urgency, but something that actually fits who you're becoming. And that requires a little bit of trust. Trust that you don't have to figure everything out right now. That you're allowed to be in process, and that not every empty space needs to be filled immediately. Sometimes it just needs to be felt. So if this isn't the dramatic glow-up reset that we've been shown, what does a real reset actually look like? Honestly, it's a lot less flashy, but a lot more sustainable. A real reset isn't about becoming a completely different person overnight. It's about becoming more honest with yourself over time and just noticing what drains you and slowly choosing differently. It's paying attention to what actually gives you energy, not just what looks good on paper, right? Like, that's so important. It's rebuilding your life in small, quiet ways. That's a key shift. Maybe it's simply just waking up and not immediately reaching for your phone. That could be just one new habit. Or going on a walk instead of forcing a workout that doesn't feel good. Being more intentional with who you spend your time with. Starting to follow through on small promises to yourself. It's not perfect, it's not aesthetic all the time, but it's real. And over time, those small shifts start to compound. Your habits begin to reflect your self-respect, and your routines start to support your nervous system instead of overwhelmment. Your choices start to feel more aligned instead of just automatic. And one day you look around and you realize that your life feels different, not because you forced a transformation, but because you allowed one to unfold. Small things really do add up. And so how to move through it without forcing this clarity? I mean, if you are in this reset era, how do you actually move through it without overthinking everything or trying to rush the process? Instead of asking yourself, what's my 5-year plan? Or what am I supposed to be doing right now? Or why don't you try bringing it back to something much simpler? What feels like the next slightly better step? Not a perfect one, not life-changing, just a little more aligned. Maybe it's sending the email that you've been putting off, or taking a break without guilt. Maybe it's trying something new just because you're curious. This is where soft structure can really support you, having a few gentle anchors in your day, things that keep you grounded without feeling restricted, like moving your body in a way that feels good, getting outside, creating a little space to think or to reflect. And letting that be enough for now. You don't need to have everything figured out. Clarity tends to come after movement, not before it. And the more you take small, aligned steps, the more your path naturally starts to reveal itself. And this is a reminder for myself as well. That's why, of course, I'm talking about it. So anyway, if things have felt a little slower lately or a little quieter, a little uncertain, I hope this episode helps you see that maybe you're not falling behind. Maybe you're just resetting. And resets don't always look like breakthroughs. Sometimes they look like pauses or like questioning or like gently letting go. But those are the moments that create real change, real change. So you don't have to rush the season and you don't have to force clarity or try to become a new version of yourself overnight. You can trust that something is shifting, even if it's subtle or even if it's quiet. And if you let it, this could be the foundation for a version of your life that actually feels like you. Perhaps maybe journal your day to day of the new little small things you're doing that you can reflect on in the future to realize like, wow, that really helped me end up here. Anyway, with all that said, don't forget we have a Portal Thursday episode. Feel free to connect with me on Instagram or Substack. My username is @RaquelMantra. That's RaquelMantra. And with all that being said, thank you so much for listening. And thank you for your magic.